The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So I have four younger daughters, younger sisters. Four younger sisters. When I was a toddler, none of them existed, except perhaps a twinkle in my parents' eye and in the mind of God in some mysterious way. But they weren't around when I was a toddler, but they like to remind me. It's the only thing from when I was that age that they like to remind me of, something that supposedly took place when I was a toddler, that I was outside somewhere in our yard, I guess, and I ate dog poop. Maybe that happened, I don't know. Why do I mention that? Because of a profound truth connected to our reading, but that our thoughts, your thoughts, my thoughts, are not all from ourselves. Our thoughts come from God and the good angels. Our thoughts come from ourselves. Our thoughts come from Satan and the fallen angels. And again, when we're toddlers, when we're young, we're babies, we like to pretty much put everything in our mouths, and you know, it's just, again, we're growing, we're experiencing the world, we're determining what it all is, we're starting to become aware, and we're trying to grow in understanding. And certainly if our senses are working well, they help us, say, thinking about eating, what's good to eat, what's bad. Of course, we also need the help of parents and others along the way. And so thanks be to God, as an adult, I can go through life now and say, "Oh, it's a watermelon. That's good to eat. I can pick that up and eat it." And I can go along and I say, "Oh, that dog poop. I'm not going to eat that." We hear about it in our first reading. We're of all of creation. We share both the material and the immaterial world. The corporeal and the spiritual, or as we pray, we'll pray in just a couple of minutes in the Creed, how God made everything, both the visible and the invisible part of creation. We share in both. Our one being, we're one being, we're one person, both our body and soul. And so we live in the material world, corporeal world, and we live in the spiritual world, the immaterial part of creation. And there's a similarity when it comes to our thoughts, which in their own way share in both, but certainly they're part of kind of the spiritual world, that we go through our life in not a dissimilar way as we go through the material world, and we have to discern things. We're aware, we want to understand, and then we want to take the right action. Oh, my watermelon, I'm going to pick it up and eat it. Dog poop bad. No, that's the last time I'll mention dog poop. Bad, no. So also with our thoughts. That's a good thought, meaning it's true. And it gives life, and it helps me to live rightly. I want to kind of accept it, hold on to it, and act on it. Oh, that's a bad thought. That's a lie, or it's a partial truth. It's something that will lead not to my own life, not to my own happiness and fulfillment, but away. It's going to do me damage, and I'll leave it where it is. I'm going to even more get rid of it. Again, our thoughts are from ourselves. Sometimes the thoughts we have from ourselves are good, sometimes bad. Our thoughts are from God, from the good angels. Those are always good thoughts. We want to hold on to those. And then there's thoughts from Satan and the fallen angels. Those are always bad thoughts. I don't want anything to do with them, in partial or in whole. And so in our thoughts, to be able to be aware, to understand, is it good or bad, and then take the right action. Hold on to the good thought. Get rid of the bad. One of the great teachers of what he called discernment of spirits, but this reality, which again, it's not just in our thoughts, our entire being is connected to this. His name is St. Ignatius of Loyola. He used the image when it comes to kind of the bad thoughts and all that they would lead to. We want to throw them away like a pitcher throws a baseball. Just hurl them away. Again, in our first reading and in our gospel, right, we hear about this dynamic is on display, and certainly Satan and the fallen angels and the way that they tempt us, the way that he normally tries to get at us. Paul, Peter talks about Satan as a roaring lion, searching for someone to devour, that we resist him solid in our faith. But the main way is in our thoughts. It's the main way we experience his presence and his attack. Again, how do we resist it solid in our thoughts, or solid in our faith? And by proclaiming the truth and naming those bad thoughts for what they are and getting rid of them, not acting on them. Lots of ways that this is true, and maybe just to focus on two this morning. One kind of at a deep level that is very much on display with that first temptation and that first sin of Adam and Eve, our ancestors, our common ancestors, and also with Jesus, and of course his victory is naming the temptation clearly and rejecting it. How did Jesus overcome that temptation of Satan's, his three temptations? A big part of it, maybe at the heart of it, is not simply that Jesus had moral strength, he had that, but it was because of his relationship with the Father. Because he knew the Father's love for him, and he had a love and a trust and an affection for the Father. And he knew that anything that would get in the way of that was something he didn't want anything to deal with. He didn't want anything to hold on to. Our catechism, reflecting on what we heard in the gospel, in the first reading today from Genesis, you know, this account of, again, a real historical event, though it's using symbolic languages. But this truth of how our ancestors fell, what is at the heart of it? It says that they, tempted by the devil, let trust in God die in their heart, and thus gave in to an act of disobedience. And that every subsequent sin, is always an act of disobedience against God and a lack of trust in his goodness. And so one of the bad thoughts that we can experience and if we hold on to, if we accept that it always leads to sin, is the thought of, like, I'm alone. God is not good and he's not with me. He's not my good father. Again, sometimes it takes grace to be aware and understand that. But Jesus knew he wasn't alone. The Father was always with him. He was always with the Father. And his love for the Father, and again, that trust. There's others at that kind of level of what some have talked about as identity lies, but this is the way I'm alone. It's a bad thought. What do we do with that? I want nothing to do with it. See, that's there. But I don't have to accept that. What's the truth? God makes known that he's our good Father. He's with us. And that in Jesus, all things work for the good of those who love him. Not that God says bad is okay or evil is good or sin is not sin, but in Jesus, he can bring good out of it. We're not alone. Think about another example is, I don't want to say a little more mundane, but in Lent, of course, what is our, we're trying to respond to grow closer to the Father, that goal of growing and knowing and kind of experiencing the Father's love for us, which is always there, but also then responding well to it. How do we do that? We talk about prayer, fasting, and all these things. It's kind of three pillars of Lent. Think about prayer. Maybe you have got daily prayer times. Maybe it's in the morning, maybe it's during the day, maybe it's in the evening. Maybe this Lent you're really trying to grow in that. You know, I'm going to take 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, and I'm going to pray. At some point, maybe it's already happened, but at some point you're going to get to that prayer time and there's going to be the thought of, maybe I'll do something else. I got to call that person. Maybe I should call that person now. I was going to check the news about this. Maybe I'll look at that. Oh, my phone's there. Maybe I'll go on social media and see what's going on there, or play a game, or check my email. Oh, you prayed yesterday. It didn't seem to lead anywhere. It's just going to be a waste right now. All those thoughts, those are bad thoughts. See, all of those thoughts would keep us from doing the good thing. Again, what's the good thought in that? To identify that, to understand that, to throw it away. No, I'm going to hold on to my prayer time. I'm going to pray. If it's going to be for 5 minutes, I'm going to pray for 5 minutes. Maybe I'll pray for 5 minutes and 10 seconds. I'm going to pray the rosary, pray. Even if it's we're doing something else, maybe I'm driving. Oh, and I'm just going to pray or listen to something. Ah, why bother? No. What's going on? It's that temptation, it's that bad thought arising. Do I pick it up or do I reject it? Whether it's at those deeper levels or it's, again, in a very important way, but kind of your more day-to-day or the more immediate level, both of which affect our actions. One practical way we can respond as we understand, as we recognize, is just to pray against them. Jesus, in your name, or some people pray in the name of Jesus, I repent of and reject. Where's the lie that I'm alone? Throw it away. And I proclaim the truth that God is with me in this moment. God loves me. God is good. Or I repent, Jesus, in your name, I repent and reject the lie that it would be better for me to pick up my phone than pray in this moment. Throw it away. Jesus, in his response to one of the temptations of Satan today, as we hear every Lent, he says, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. We need bread, we need food for our bodies, but we need God's word for our souls, our thoughts. How do we grow in our understanding of what's a good thought and what's a bad thought is precisely through the word of God. Jesus in all the ways that he gives himself to us, not least of which, but always including in one way, the scriptures. That's a great way to, especially in Lent, say, okay, part of my prayer each day, even just for a couple of minutes, will be with scripture. That word of God that helps me to know the good thoughts. But more than that, also helps me to hold on to them. Because part of the reality for us is this, as we call it, kind of inclination to accept and to hold on to the bad thoughts. And that always leads to sin. That's part of what our second reading about, when we talk about original sin, right? The sin of Adam and Eve. We inherit that, right? It's not something we do. It's a state of being that we're born into because we're all connected. No? We're all in Adam and Eve. But Paul's talking about Adam, the first Adam, and then Jesus, the second Adam. And of course, the reality is Jesus comes not just to teach us what's good, but to make us good. Well, we are good, but we're wounded. We're broken. He comes to heal us. But he comes to make it possible for us to not just know the good thoughts, but to choose them. And one of the great ways that God does that is actually as we pray with Scripture. As Scripture itself says, it's the living word of God that has power in it. It's going to help us, you know, as my parents helped me in a similar way. You know? So I grew, oh, that's good to eat. That's bad to eat. Don't eat that. And they helped me to make those choices. They're there to help. Well, even more so, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And so spend that time in Scripture. Help us to know the good thoughts. Help us to discern, understand good and bad. But also help us to choose. I'll leave us with one other good thought for this season of Lent. Go to confession. Go to the sacrament of confession, penance and reconciliation. It's where Jesus is. Jesus gave it to us on the night of his resurrection. Gave it to the apostles so he could forgive our sins, knowing that we would sin, knowing that we would need it. Our personal sins, whose sins you forgive or forgiven, whose sins you hold bound or held bound. And to realize how for all of us, it's one of those areas where we definitely experience this spiritual reality in our thoughts. And we can all in different ways experience thoughts that would keep us from that sacrament. Oh, that sin's too great, it'll never be forgiven. God will never forgive that. Oh, that's no big deal. Just move on. Oh, God understands. I prayed on my own, and that should be good enough. Yes, we want to pray on our own and ask forgiveness in our own prayers. But Jesus gave us the sacrament of his mercy. As Scripture says, St. John in the letter, he says, in Jesus, Jesus gives us himself so we wouldn't sin. But if we do sin, we have an advocate. Jesus, who forgives our sins. Then he goes on to say, but if we say we have no sin, then we're a liar and the truth is not in us. Sometimes the reason we stay away from confession is precisely because of this spiritual reality in our thoughts. What a confession. We know one of the good thoughts comes to us through our faith is all of us should go to that sacrament at least once a year. At least once a year, at a minimum. But it's an encounter with Jesus. God's love, his mercy for you in a tremendously personal, intimate way. Be able to bring him that part of our life that he came to heal, to wash away. Let's ask for the grace here in Mass, in our own prayer, that we recognize the good thoughts and hold on to them. And we recognize the bad thoughts. With God's help and grace, throw them away.